reconvene in recess. And the first item, 9A, under county administration, is Siskiyou County fires. So I asked to put this on the agenda so if board members have questions, we could dialogue with the two leaders in the county. We have my National Forest Supervisor here and the Cal Fire Unit Chief. Welcome.
Good morning.
Who's going first or second?
Maybe I'll start.
Yeah.
Ray, your timing is impeccable because in the last 24 hours, we've actually seen some very significant activity on several of the fires that are going on in Siskiyou County. So I'm really grateful for the opportunity to share with you a little bit about what's been going on, and then would ask for my partner and friend Phil to sort of fill in the edges on some of the other pieces that I might miss. I have to admit, I'm just coming back off of the day R&R. My husband came up from Southern California, so I'm just getting back up to speed. So I suspect there's some things Phil knows that I don't, which is nothing new. So I'll start.
Just a reminder, we need your name for the record.
Of course, my name is Rachel Smith. I'm the Forest Supervisor of the Klamath National Forest. And I'll start over on the Antelope Fire. So the Antelope Fire, we were believing until yesterday that we were on a glide path to close out the Antelope Fire. This had been something that the team that's currently in place, the red team, we've been looking for them to lead the fire in a good position for us to actually take it back as a Type 3 organization. We had the Type 3 team ordered. They were to inbrief this evening. But yesterday, our IR flight suggested that the fire had spotted pretty significantly. So I wanted to give you briefly the acreage that we're currently at. It's 71,512 acres. Our containment is at 83%, but I think that does not reflect what we're seeing on the ground. There's a new, very significant spot that last night prompted new evacuations around Medicine Lake. So as you'll recall, a few weeks ago, we first evacuated it, and then we repopulated it because we're doing really well with it. In fact, we also unwrapped all the structures that we wrapped previously. So the fire is now heading that direction again. So it's still in Klamath National Forest territory and also the Shasta Trinity National Forest. And it's also heading over to the Modoc National Forest. It's moving north as of this morning of the 15 road. So we're looking at potential additional evacuations. We immediately last night asked for a Type 2 team. This is more than a Type 3 team can handle. And we're getting one of the local teams off the Shasta Trinity. They're mobilizing fast because they know that we have a need, and they'll be here this evening. So we'll be in briefing them at 7 p.m. tonight. So I wanted to share that on Antelope. It's a concerning progression, but we have an awesome team, that red team that's been here for a couple of weeks. If anybody can make progress on it, it's them. I also wanted to share, just last week, we had a water tender rollover. And I know you're aware of that, sir. It was a good news report. We have ongoing challenges with aviation resources. So smoke grounded all of the flights that we could get out of Reading, out of Medford. Instead, we took unit aircraft and we flew the injured individual to Wairika. They got amazing care at Fairchild and they were released the next day. So we're still taking care of him. We're still supporting him, but I wanted to just share it was an amazing rescue. The law enforcement officers who were involved, Forest Service law enforcement and BLM, along with a 20-person hand crew, used Pulaskis and literally ratchet straps. And they also used a pry bar to get the gentleman out of his vehicle because he was having difficulty breathing, so they didn't feel that they could wait for ALS to arrive. So really tremendous success. So that was the big update that I wanted to share for Antelope. And then River is the other complex that I wanted to share some updates on. That has also seen some pretty significant activity in the last 24 hours. Acreage-wise, we're looking at 129,067 acres, 19% containment. So down in the area of Coffee Creek, that's an area that Phil and I have been concerned about for several weeks, and we continue to be very concerned. Yesterday, the evacuation warning progressed to an evacuation order in that area. So we're continuing to work hard there, but we're also seeing activity in other areas of the fire. So I know that last night we saw the fire had spotted over the ridgeline that we were using for containment yesterday. And it's moving north at Boulder Road, that's Forest Road 4N17, and headed towards East Boulder Creek as well. So that's the northeastern portion of the river complex and then also the southern extent of the river complex. The final one that I wanted to briefly mention, we've had some stability. You'll notice I don't ever use the Q word, but we've had some stability on the McCash fire in the last couple of days. So we have a new team that just transitioned in. It's another team out of the Great Basin, but I'm really impressed so far with them. They took the fire this morning. It's at 57,038 acres, 15% containment, and they're still making really good progress on McCash. So Happy Camp remains under evacuation warning, and we are getting some additional crews from out of the area. We just got a hotshot crew from Alaska that arrived this morning. So those are the highlights that I wanted to mention in terms of what we're seeing. And also just wanted to finally mention, which may be of interest, we're standing up a voluntary testing facility for COVID-19 because we've been seeing a significant number of positive results in the last couple of weeks. It'll be in Wairika, so emergency responders for any fire, including ours, can stop by and get a free test if they choose to. But it's voluntary, and they can stop by if they want to. And that's all I have to share, but I suspect I've missed at least a few key elements, so we defer to my neighbor.
Hey, good morning, Phil Lanzo, the Unit Chief, Cal Fire Assist Group. Appreciate this time and to give you an update. We are working with the U.S. Forest Service, have been since the beginning of these fires, and we were making really good progress throughout the different fires throughout the county. The Cronin Fire resources were very helpful in containment of that incident and also on the Antelope. Unfortunately, these conditions are unprecedented. They're difficult for folks to gain access and gain control of these fires just due to the fuel conditions that are out there. And anytime the weather changes with specifically wind events, it does create challenges for us. So even though we thought we were making really good progress on Antelope, this is definitely a setback. We've got roughly 1,000 acres that crossed over the line and was very actively burning last night. We sent the resources that we had available at the time, which was 4 dozers, 5 engines, and 1 firefighter hand crew last night, as well as a battalion chief to go assist. They were not successful in getting around it due to the spot fires. So fire actively burning throughout the evening. So those are the conditions that our folks are working in. There are red flag warnings issued for today on the east side of the county as well for additional winds. So they will be battling the elements and the fuel conditions once again today. And on the river complex, we have been engaged with them and basically monitoring the conditions that are out there and the efforts that are being placed out there, specifically in those areas that are of concern, like Coffee Creek and potentially the fire as it moves towards Callahan. So we are there and engaged with our partners from the beginning, and we'll be there probably until the end, until the rain flies.
Questions?
I don't have a question, but I'll have a comment. Okay. Just one question. Are the Cal Fire stations, are they manned right now by Cal Fire personnel, or do you bring in or volunteers?
They've been a combination throughout the last several weeks. We've had Cal Fire resources come in and be able to staff stations. We've sent a lot of those resources away to other fires, and when we did that, we had to bring in local volunteers to do that. We also have rented engines that just without personnel and placed our personnel on those engines. So it's been a combination of a lot of different things to try to maintain staffing for initial attack here locally.
All right, thank you.
I'm just overwhelmed with gratitude for the work you did to rescue that water tender driver. That was amazing rescue. Can't say enough about that. And all the work you guys have done to keep structures and people alive during this. This is incredible. I flew yesterday from Idaho back to Ashland in a small plane. And I couldn't believe how much smoke there was in the air. And how treacherous it is for air attack and even ground crews to work in this kind of weather is just amazing. And if I knew how bad it was, I probably wouldn't have flown because it was a little scary. I can't thank you guys enough for what you do.
I had a couple questions. One, I looked at the GAC page the other night, still in PL5. Are you both still in drawdown, or what's the situation with initial GAC?
On the forestry side, we're below drawdown. And that's a position that most of California Region 6 is in right now. Region 5, that's where I'm thinking of my neighbors across the border in Region 6, because Oregon's not quite as much into drawdown as we are. So, but yes, we are below drawdown.
How many engines do you have, you know?
So right now we are basically providing IA support from resources that we already have assigned to the fires. So we have an evolving plan that changes slightly by the day. We're working with all the incident commanders to make sure that depending on where the new starts start, that we can effectively respond. A couple days ago when we had a new start near the river complex, they cut loose immediately a couple engines, and we had a pretty amazing response. We also had great support from CAL FIRE, and we were able to get around to the new start real fast. But I will be frank, we are below drawdown.
Okay, so the teams do have initial attack within a certain geographic area then?
Within the TFR. So the delegation that we've agreed to after a fair amount of going back and forth is each of them want to just limit their IA responsibility to within the TFR.
Okay.
And for the Cal Fire side, yes. We had one engine per station prior to yesterday, and we sent the 5 engines out overnight, and those engines are back in their stations resting right now. So we're back up and ready for initial attack.
Okay. I guess the big question for me is whether or not there's sufficient resources for River Complex and for the cache, should they make a march to the north? You know, because it's not too far from the top of the ridge to Callahan for that fire, and it's not a real stretch from Marble Valley to the river, with some strong winds. Just reassure me, would you please? Because I'm a little nervous.
Well, I'll start, and I can tell you, I've been calling this summer, I don't know if you remember the children's story of making stone soup. The recipe for how you make soup when you don't have all the ingredients that you need for soup. You might have half of a carrot and part of an onion, all the kind of different things that you can sort of throw in as neighbors and friends. And the way that we're getting around our incidents has been the stone soup approach. Everybody brings whatever they're able to bring, and we've been really grateful for the support from the private industry as well, particularly on the river complex. So in terms of would I like to have more resources, I absolutely would. But with the amount of fire activity that's going on throughout the geographic area, I know that other incidents, including the Monument Fire just to our south and even farther south, are in the same position that we are. We're all resource hungry. So I'd love to have more resources. I do think that both of the fires that you mentioned are doing the very best that they can with the resources that they have. And I've seen a lot of ingenuity on both River and also McCash.
I guess I'm more probing for whether or not a fallback strategy be successful for point protection, you know, and whether there's adequate resources to make that stand.
So, Supervisor Ralph, that is a great question, and that's our intention by withholding those resources at our stations and having the 7 engines available and the hand crew available and the dozers that we had was specifically to surge into and when and where needed for that point protection if needed. We were also engaged with the Shasta Trinity CAL FIRE unit to have those conversations to assure that they have resources available that they can surge into Coffee Creek if needed. So through that combined effort, yeah, I believe we'll be able to do some good. The whole intention is to keep these fires in the smallest footprint, though, so that we don't need to do that, so that point protection is not required. That's conditions, yes, dictated by conditions.
And I just had a comment for Rachel. You know, looking at NCWEB, looking at, in particular, the Cache Fire and River Fire, it keeps talking about Karuk things at risk. I would remind you that language is probably offensive to another tribe in that the river complex itself is solely within Shasta territory. And the McCash Fire in Marble Valley is in the spiritual headwaters of that tribe.
Well taken. And I will just say on the side, if anyone has any points of contact with that tribe, I've been doing my best to get in touch with them since then, and I haven't been able to get anyone to return my phone calls or emails.
Okay. So I can do that for you.
If you have any suggestions, I would be very grateful.
Yeah, I can reach out for you. Supervisor Gobsack.
So, don't take it personal. We've had enough of this. We're not going to take another year, next year, of doing the same thing. I mean, I know we try to save, we're doing a great job, we wish we had more resources, but I want to see something from the Forest Service that actually starts to implement a better management style. Logging, which is not a politically correct word. There were timber crews when we were logging historically. We had an economy when we were logging. We need to be logging again. There's too much vegetation out there, and we all know it, and it has to get done. Residents are tired of seeing burnt sticks out there. They need to be dropped, and the area needs to be replanted. Those areas that need to be restored meadows need to be restored meadows. Besides the economy, just the recreational value, I mean, you've talked about over almost 300,000 acres that is just revenue burnt up and gone. That's to your department and to the county and to residential users and recreationalists overall. We can blame it on climate change or whatever we want to do there, but the bottom line is we need to be doing more on the landscape, and it has to start even with these fires. I'm going to be promoting, if there can be such a thing, an order to the Forest Service, to the federal government, to actually start taking down burnt timber and planting trees again. That's what historically used to happen. It doesn't happen anymore because of litigation on the environmental side. And I'll go so far as to say is, all of this I lay squarely on the environmentalists that started with the spotted owl debacle way back when that destroyed the Forest County's revenue. And this lays squarely on their shoulders because they block every project that's great that you guys come up with. And quite frankly, I'm tired of it. Our county can't take it anymore. Our residents can't take it anymore. Your department can't take it anymore. So I am going to say that, you know, to encourage this board to be supportive of the projects that you have coming up with regard to taking out timber, you have to do it. It's not a matter of, well, we got to save this tree or that tree now that it's burnt. I mean, I've been out there where I've heard, you know, the environmental community say how beautiful the burnt forests look now. That, you know, it's gut-wrenching. I'm sorry. It's a waste of time and resources, and we have to restore the national forests to what they should be. And I look to your department to come to us to say we need help on doing X, but however we can influence cutting burnt timber and replanting after these devastating fires, I'll be supportive of that, and hopefully this board will be, and whatever we need to put in place to help move that along, all the better. In the lost acreage that you've talked about, is that private land and public, or just public?
Yes, sir. It's a combination of private and public, and I think I share many of your concerns and thoughts. I feel like there's an opportunity for entrepreneurship in terms of developing new markets. So that's been a conversation that I've been having with Steve Brink and others in the timber industry since coming here back in May. And I see us as having some real opportunities. One of the challenges that I keep hearing from the timber industry is that they need to be able to rely on green sales, not just black sales. So I hear that from our local veneer mill, which employs almost 100 folks and has a brand new lathe that they got from Japan. They're doing really great work out there, but they can't just depend on the black timber that they've got, of course. So I see some opportunities, and Ray knows I'm not a timber person by background, but I'm learning. I see the opportunities to develop new markets that Siskiyou County can be part of. And I think we have to do that because we need to find something that we can do very proactively. On the Antelope Fire, we're making some good progress with hazard tree removal, so removing the dead trees that are adjacent to roads, so we don't find ourselves in a circumstance similar to the circumstance we found ourselves on Grayback Road last year. And I am looking for innovative, creative ways for me to stay within law, regulation, and policy and get the work done on the ground that we need to get done.
Law and policy may need to change to get the work done, and I'll be there to support that because it has to occur. We can't just leave the landscape the way we're leaving it because there won't be anything left for my grandkids and great-grandkids to be able to enjoy that recreational value. Besides, the like I said, the loss of the revenue because we might as well just burn up $1,000 bills, because I know the private side from the lava fire, when before this got over to the Antelope, they were talking about hundreds of millions of dollars in inventory that were at risk that obviously are part of what's in the Antelope, correct?
Absolutely. And in talking to Darren Quigley, who represents some of the interests mm-hmm. out there, I mean, it's a major concern. One of the things that I found pretty sad was that fruit growers divested themselves of some of their significant holdings in Northern California. The sale went through only days before the impacts of the Antelope Fire. So what a welcome to being part of the market in Northern California to know that your forests that you just recently acquired are at risk. So I completely concur. I think there's a lot of opportunities for us to be proactive. I'd love to accept your offer to partner with you.
Do you have that opportunity to replant?
Yes.
You do?
Okay. Yes.
Thank you.
So I wasn't going to get on my hard horse at night, though. Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Me too.
Bear with me. So, you know, I keep hearing, and this isn't about you, this is about a narrative, okay, that I keep hearing. This is our new norm. Well, I'm sorry, I'm willing to accept that. As our new norm. I know better. I also will, you know, having suffered many, many lawsuits, will also lay this squarely at the feet of the environmentalists and the special interests that stop all these projects. I, for one, have been stopped multiple times only to see them go up in flames. And frankly, I'm sick of it. I'm not going to pussyfoot around that anymore. You know, I'm just going to come out and call it what it is. You know, if we don't soon turn this around, there's not going to be a national forest fire. And one of the narratives that I would encourage you to help me with is that I keep hearing, and I'm hearing it from firefighters, and I'm hearing it from the federal folks that work in your organization. Fire's good. Fire's good on the landscape. Well, fire is in its right role. But it's not always good. And I would beg that none of these fires are good for climate change, I can tell you that. Right now, with the amount of carbon being released in these darn things. The other perception is we can't do anything about it. Well, I'm sorry, I'm a professional forester. You know, I don't care if it's climate change or the latest nuclear bomb. I can manage toward that to be successful, and we need to be a little brighter and need to change that message. Unfortunately, there's too many people on the East Coast who are used to hurricanes and flood. And you know what? They're acts of God and you can't do much about it. But what we're experiencing right here is a bit of climate change, an act of God, but it's exacerbated by what we've done, or lack of what we've done in the woods. And I think there's too many people in the public that think there's nothing we can do about this. That narrative has to change, you know, because there's a lot we can do about it. Yeah. Anyway, the fire is good thing is flies in the face of some of the research you're probably aware of, and that you're already seeing the fact that some of these fires are burning fires again that only burned 5 years ago. Well, unfortunately, the other side of the science of fire is good is that once you have a fire and you don't convert it back to forest, you have an accelerated rate or a shorter period interval between fires because you've converted it to a fuel that wants to burn a lot higher, a lot hotter, and a lot quicker. And that message can't be diminished, I guess, in this fire is good message either, because fire is not good in a forest or situation. It might be good in grass or chaparral, but it's not always good timber. Anyway, I'm going to get off that, but I'm with my supervisors here. This is destroying agriculture in our county. It's destroying recreation in our county, and we have a hard enough time struggling to survive financially. We need to get this back up and running the way it was intended.
We'll make this joke real quick.
Yeah.
More on the Cal Fire side, actually. As you well know, South County, I've been harping on Caltrans to do their part. Every time I drive up from Mount Shasta through, you can see dead trees. You know, when they do a project, they don't seem to be taking the opportunity to do the things. As you well know, a lot of fires start off the freeways, as what's happened down in the canyon. So as much as we want to build it up on the Forest Service, the state of California needs to step up, too, and do their part.
And like Oregon, they logged their interstates.
It's not on Cal Fire necessarily, it's on the bureaucracy of it to get a project done. I mean, how many letters do I got to write to say, can you just do a little 20 by 20 deal? I mean, some of this is natural, you know, do you need to really go through the whole process to do the interchange and the right-of-way?
I always said, how many times do I have to write a 800-page document to do the same thing I've done 20 times before, expecting a different result?
Anyways, Phil, I'm going to continue to look for you for help and support as I write the letters and get the projects done. Along the Caltrans right away coming up from Dunsborough.
Absolutely, and I appreciate it, and it's working. We were talking with Caltrans several weeks ago, and they are looking at several projects, one including portions of Highway 89.
Thank you.
Well, I think you're exhausted a bit today. But anyway, we're only a bit of the frustration, if you will, with the calls I get and what we feel from our constituents. And, you know, we need to turn this county around because it used to be known for its timber and its hunting and, you know, its pristine nature. And you know how to get back there, but you need to get there. Again, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Don't put out the fire. Item 9B.
The Davis County Administrator. This item pertains to our county code wherein I am requesting that any reference to the county administrator will now read the county administrator and or his or her designee. Strike that. It's the county administrator or his or her designee. In order to provide a greater level of flexibility and also any time that a designee can be made known that documents, discussions, what have you, will continue seamlessly. So, with that is the request.
Okay, with that, Wendy, I guess we need to follow the public hearing protocol.
It's not a public hearing, it's just the first reading. We'll set the public hearing and then we'll do that next.
Okay. Questions to the board?
Through the chair.
Go ahead.
That also means that you still have. It gives you the flexibility, but it's not like someone just pops up and says, oh, yeah, I'm the designee. It has to be authorized by you. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Very good. Thank you. Move to approve.
And we need to schedule a date.
Let's get a second first.
Second.
Thank you. The first one in October. I won't have time for the September date for the publication, but we could do October 5th.
Second, first.
Thank you.
That's fine.
That works. Okay. No other We didn't have any public comments, it looks like. So Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsa?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Thank you.
County Council. So next one is yours, IAC.
Good morning, Bill Carroll, Deputy County Council. Today's date was set for a property lien hearing. Some of the notices we sent out, however, we discovered when we were reviewing materials for the hearing had some mismatches between the citation numbers and the amounts. And because we're leaning property, the record has to be perfect. So we are just re-noticing the properties that we were going to do today, looking at the correct sources for the amounts and citation numbers, and we'll be back probably next month, also with a longer list than what we were going to have today, so it's kind of two birds with one stone. But anyways, just some administrative corrections that need to happen.
And just keep the clerk's office in the loop as to date and
all that. We will keep the clerk's office in the loop, so we're just going to ask that the day's hearing be vacated.
The chair.
Okay.
So does that mean they'll come back correct?
Yes. We had a spreadsheet we were going off of, and it looks like somehow transferring numbers, something got off kilter when we looked at the original citations and we discovered it. So from now on, we're always going to look at the original citations and not have a repeat of this error.
Thank you.
Okay.
If you're looking for a motion,
we vacated it.
To vacate it? You don't need a motion to vacate? Okay.
I'm sorry, which, who?
Well, I didn't know if you needed a motion to make.
Yes, please. So you're making that motion?
Okay. Yeah, with one point of discussion, I think it shows the depth that County's taken to bend over backwards to do everything in the fair and equitable way. So I'll make the motion.
Second.
Thank you. Okay. Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsa?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Thank you.
The next one's yours.
Oh, goody.
And let me see. A couple of clarifications you were going to make on this one.
Sure. I think there was a issue having to do with whether this is a first reading or not. I think we addressed that earlier. It is a first reading because there was an amendment made. I think the chair also had a question regarding why this is being dealt with by the county versus flood control, where we're normally used to seeing matters pertaining to Pacific Corps, and the answer is because what this franchise agreement pertains to are the right-of-ways that the county has, not the property the flood control has. And then I would ask that if Natalie Reed is on the line, she might have some additional information in connection with this.
I don't see her there.
You don't see her? Anne
Reed's.
Oh.
You can try that to see if it's Natalie.
Okay. Caller ending in 7526. Is this Natalie? Hello?
I'm not going to change the speaker.
Thank you.
Battery 80%. Urgency ordinance would just extend.
Natalie, we just. Well, that's not her.
It sounds like Natalie.
Yeah, it
sounded like her.
Yeah.
Natalie, is that you?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, we just started. You were talking and we only caught the middle of the sentence, so if you could start over, please.
Okay, so this item is the urgency ordinance to extend the existing franchise ordinance until the process for putting the new ordinance in place is complete. In regards to the new franchise ordinance to compensating the county for the use of its rights of way, I heard an earlier question from Mr. Marshall, I believe, or Mr. Rice about the flood district passing that ordinance. However, that would be proper because we're not compensating a district for compensating the county for the use of its rights of way. Were there other questions?
So, I think I can clarify. This was the urgency ordinance. The other one is later in the agenda under the public hearings for the first reading for the electrical franchise.
Did you hear the question, Natalie?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
We're noticing there are two items pertaining to franchise agreements. There's this, and then there's one under public hearing and the distinction between them.
Yes, so this urgency item is to extend the existing franchise until we have the new ordinance in place.
Whereas with
does that answer the
With respect to the item later at 15A, which is a public hearing, that's a continued public hearing for first reading of an ordinance granting electric utility franchise to Pacific Core. Is that a prospective, is that something moving forward as opposed to, well, what's the distinction, I guess, would be the question.
Okay, so we have a franchise ordinance in place that is going to expire, but we do not have our new franchise ordinance adopted yet. The item currently before the board will extend our existing franchise until the new ordinance is in place. The item that there is going to be a public hearing on later today has to do with that new ordinance that will take the place of the existing franchise.
Got it.
Does that answer the question?
I think so, yes.
No further questions. I need a motion.
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay. Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Okay.
Supervisor Ogren? And Supervisor Haupt?
Aye. And that includes directing the clerk to publish a notice of opinion.
Yeah.
15 days.
Yep. We'll get this signed and adopted.
County Council again on water ordinance.
Yes, this is a resolution which is implementing a provision in the water truck ordinance which allows the board to designate permit holders who exempt from the water truck ordinance. This is consistent with the intention we've indicated all along to try to streamline the process as much as possible. The listed permit holders were compiled after speaking with various department heads, agricultural department, sheriff's office, CDA. I basically solicited input from various parties, got who they think ought to be exempt, but in doing so wouldn't hinder our ability to enforce the water truck ordinance, although that's currently on hold with the preliminary injunction, but nevertheless, in the long run, we hope it is still in effect. And so this is to, in that eventuality, when the water truck ordinance, we hope, is able to be enforced, we will nevertheless be exempting certain permit holders and trying to lessen the burden upon people to comply with this. And so if you want to look at the parties who are no longer having to get in the water truck ordinance, that's obviously in the resolution listed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Discussion by the board.
Are these permits issued to an individual? Are they going to list vehicles by license number, or how does that permit get issued? To whom does that permit get issued? To a vehicle? To a company?
Yeah, I will have. If you look at the list of permit holders, one by one, I'll have to confess I solicited the information, but these permits are issued by frequently by the state, so I don't necessarily know who receives them. But if we just kind of go down the list, the first one is potable water permit holder. I know those are issued to a company which delivers potable water.
Well, I guess my, to further that question is, if it's a company, then does that company have a number of coffee permits so that each driver of a truck carries one?
Yeah, and to answer your question, exemption from the water truck ordinance requires that the holder, that the driver, have a copy on his person, and have it ready for inspection in the event that law enforcement wishes to see it. And so that's a requirement of exempting them from the permit ordinance, the water truck ordinance.
Okay, so everybody that has a truck with 99 gallons of water in it should have a permit.
Well, actually, over 100 gallons.
Over 100 gallons.
If they want to be exempt, yes. If they for some reason don't want to give their driver a copy of the permit and want to instead go through a permitting process, they're free to do so. But I would think most people would rather just give a copy of the permit to the driver.
So anybody that has a permit can make a copy and give it to somebody else to carry.
Correct, and if they do so, and if they're listed here, or if they're exempt in the original ordinance itself, which also has exemptions for various parties, then they are not subject to it. Is there another concern?
Well, so still anybody can make a copy of a permit and give it to somebody else to...
Yeah, so for instance, a holder of a permit from the Air Quality Control Board, provided the person driving the vehicle capable of holding 100 gallons or more, has a copy of the permit with the vehicle available for inspection with law enforcement.
So there's no list of identified vehicles by license number or anything that identifies which vehicle is approved to drive on a particular road with over 100 gallons of water?
No, these are various, mostly state
right.
entities who would be issuing the permits.
Or,
and, I mean, with respect to potable water, for instance, everyone I've seen has potable water
potable,
outside.
Potable, right.
I don't know necessarily these other permit holders will have
well,
something.
Well, drillers.
Which is, yeah, they may not have something which makes it as obvious. Law enforcement can pull them over. The driver would say, I've got a well drilling permit, here's my permit.
Right.
And if it's true, he'll be on his way within, you know, 30 seconds or a minute or whatever it takes.
Yeah.
I mean, I would imagine to the extent that you've got the same people driving, let's say well drillers, law enforcement, I would imagine, will recognize, so that's, Mr. Smith's will go and won't stop him every time because he already knows who he is because he stopped him once and got sort of permit. But I mean, that's up to law enforcement, but I imagine people become familiar with the businesses.
As long as that list is fairly short, I think it'll be okay, but...
Yeah, and I solicited this information from various departments who are aware of the fact we want to make sure we still have a ordinance which will have teeth, and you know, this shouldn't be something which allows people just to circumvent it entirely and make it toothless.
Any others? I'd like to recommend a motion then.
I'll second.
Discussion real quick. So is this a countywide ordinance?
This is the water truck ordinance, which in its current form is applies to those roads designated by resolution. So it's not countywide. So just to be clear, to the extent that the water ordinance doesn't apply,
it's coming back.
To the extent the ordinance doesn't apply to a section, nobody has to get a permit. But to the extent it does apply to certain roads as specified by a resolution, they also wouldn't have to get a permit if they have one of these designated permits.
Okay. Motion and a second.
Okay. Supervisor Chris?
Oh. Aye.
Okay. Someone got a hand up?
Caller online. You have 3 minutes.
The point was brought up, this is William Simpson, the point was brought up that the permits could be counterfeited or copied. I think board member Gnogren brought that up. It'd be very easy to incorporate somebody's photo ID number, like a Cal driver's license that has a photo ID, and therefore any duplicated copies would not match the current photo ID of the driver. So I guess that was just my comment.
Thank you.
Ready to go? Supervisor
Aye.
Chris, thank you. Supervisor Kobsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Okay.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay. Recess the Siskiyou County Supervisors and convene as the Flood Control and Water Conservation District. This time's for public comment during the Flood Control Conservation District specific. Any comments online?
None online.
Seeing none. Minute approval.
And I've received no corrections for either one. Do we want to do them together?
Yes.
Thank you.
Second.
Okay. Director Chris.
Aye.
Director Kobsev.
Aye.
Director Valenzuela.
Yes.
Director Ogren.
Aye.
And Director Haupt.
Aye.
Thank you.
Adjourn the Siskiyou County Flood Control and Water Conservation District and convene the County Service Area 4. Public comment. Any public comment for Service Area 4?
None online.
Seeing none, transfer of funds.
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay, Director Chris.
Aye.
Director Kobsev.
Aye.
Director Valenzuela.
Aye.
Director Ogren.
Aye.
And Director Haupt.
Aye. Minute approval.
And I've received no corrections for
move
those
to
either.
Approve.
Second.
Hang on just a
motion
second.
Motion and a second.
Okay. Give me a sec here, thank you. There we go. Supervisor Chris, or Director Chris?
Aye.
Director Kobsev?
Aye.
Director Valenzuela?
Mm-hmm.
Director Ogren?
Aye.
And Director Haupt?
Aye. Adjourn County Service Area 4. Reconvene as Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors. Item 12A, review of the status of the local emergency related to drought.
Move to approve.
Extend?
Extend.
Thank
second.
You. Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kobsev?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Haupt?
Aye. 12B, status of local emergency related to catastrophic wildfire. Need to approve if there's no questions.
Or extend, you mean?
Extend.
Looks like we have
okay, yeah. Yeah.
Any commenter online?
COPCO crew, you may unmute. Your turn to speak.
Hi, good afternoon. I just wanted to just to reiterate that COPCO water levels are dropping exponentially every day, and that is our water, our fire suppression around here. And as I said earlier, there is no water in Oregon, Emigrant Lake, or nearby, and there's no place south nearby. What we have is what we have, and I don't know if there's something that the county can do to ask, for their right to, make sure that we still have water. They're planning on lowering the lake at least until November, is what they said. They haven't posted till October, but they did say it could be as late as November that they refill. And so I just wanted to let the board know and to be aware of that.
And name for the record, please. I assumed that's who it was. I just wanted to make sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
So I have Director or Supervisor Haupt to extend, but I did not get a second.
Second.
Thank you. Okay. Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Kobsev.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Haupt.
Aye.
Thank you.
Appointments to to Siskiyou County Assessment Appeals Board.
This is one vacancy. It was scheduled vacancy. This would be for the Assessment Appeals Board member, and it's a term ending September 2nd, 2024. And of course, the clerk's office did our posting like we normally do with our notice of vacancy as well as press release to the both of the newspapers. Members of the Assessment Appeal Board must have certain professional experience, and this gentleman does. Our incumbent is Brian Devlin, and I didn't hear from him before I made up the agenda, but he has since let me know he is interested in reappointment, and that's the only one I've heard from.
Just one related question, Mr. Chair. Ms. Wendy, just as we're going to stay in the Cedars,
I need back. To still need to follow up on that one.
No problem.
Yep. Thank you.
I don't know if he's qualified or not.
I know. I think I do need to follow up with County Council, see where we're at with
whatever
that.
Whatever's supposed to be.
Thank you.
So what's the wishes of the board?
Oh, and Mr. Devlin is, as an incumbent, he has also been trained. He's been serving on the board for the last 4 years. Mr. Devlin?
We're having a hard time getting people. That doesn't disqualify Mr. Sears.
I still need to follow up on that. That was a different position, another vacancy. And was it Supervisor Valenzuela for the second?
Yes.
Thank you. Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsa?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Thank you.
Minute approval. A, B, and C.
And I don't think I've received corrections or changes to any of them.
Okay.
Move to approve A, B, and C. 14, A, B, and C.
Thank you. That was all three of them. Okay. Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kopsa?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopp?
Aye.
Thank you.
Go to the board of staff reports quickly.
Who's the Livestock and Natural Resources Advisor for Siskiyou County, and now I'm going to meet with her about the new Ag Pass program and work on that, which I think will be really exciting for Siskiyou County. Also working on quarterly meeting for NCRP. We're in the planning stages for that. That's going to be on October 15th. And I've been doing some research about middle mile and last mile broadband for Siskiyou County, looking at collaborating with the city on that and hopefully bringing some middle mile infrastructure to Aetna and Montague and Callahan, who currently have no broadband. That's what
I don't know.
I just have a board meeting for the CSEC, the Association of Counties. Supervisor Chris was on there, and I think Supervisor Chris would attest to the minute mics that we do. Everything that we're dealing with is replicated throughout this state. Marijuana, drought, fires, broadband, anything you want to put on the list. So please get involved. There's RCRC has our broadband as one of their top priorities. CSEC has broadband as one of its top priorities. So more to come on that front with some discussion behind the scenes.
I just had to go through the donor real quick.
My calendar says fire on it, so
mine does too, yeah. Tend to fire updates and the Antelope Fire, those things. They've had a meeting down in McLeod on the Antelope Fire fairly recently, which was good for folks down there. Also, along with Supervisor Ogren, we're getting ready for our NCRP quarterly meeting. Also in regards to the Calvin's tour, attended that. And then McLeod is working on the service district, and fire department's working on improvements down there for the fire department, and, which is all good, it's all working along in regards to staffing is wonderful. And then in regards to, there was a program in Tula Lake, Tiny Mighty Strong, and the county received an award there. County Behavioral Health did for assisting that program. It's a youth program. It impacts Tula Lake and Butte Valley, and then also on the Oregon side, some rural communities. But it's a great passion behind it, great public appreciation for it. And it's programs in the old church, also during the summer months, for youth to participate in and continue that learning through the summer months. It's a wonderful program.
Just briefly, at the RCRC meeting via Zoom, it was interesting. The wildfire issue was literally a very hot topic for all counties, not just more or less Forest counties, and all the supervisors are saying enough's enough. So I think you're going to be seeing something out of RCRC that gets a bit more aggressive. I think everybody's just out of it.
Good.
Okay, I'm going to take 5 minutes and talk to the council.